Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good. It's Skyline time.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into Fantasy Sports today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, along with Davis Maddock, every Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, giving you the latest, of course, in fantasy football. We'll recap Monday night. We'll take a look at Election Day, which is, of course, today. And Davis and I will place our votes for some things that have happened with the first half of the season in the books, more than the first half of the fantasy football season, I would add, as well. Davis, great to be with you here again. And look, Monday Night Football sort of played out the way I think the odds makers had it, which is New Orleans kind of hanging around for a little while, sort of makes it look like it could potentially be interesting. But great game, I think, overall for Kenyon Drake and the Ravens to just sort of do what they're expected to do. And New Orleans is one of those teams, Davis, kind of like the Raiders, who I talked about a little bit. I just don't get a direction for them. I don't get a sense of who they are or what they're trying to do. Not really clear. Should they be, tanking for a pick? Should they be just playing this out? I just don't know what to make of them. I know the Ravens are good, though.
Yeah, I mean, the NFC is just so bad. I think it would be hard for any team to want to tank at this point. If you're an NFC team that has like 3 wins at this stage, what are you tanking for? You're like closer to a wild card than you are to the number one overall pick. I mean, the 3 wins right now in the NFC, you can sell yourself on 9 wins winning your division, 9 wins getting the second wild card. So it's pretty much the Vikings and the Eagles standing alone. You know, who knows what ends up going on with the quarterback situation for the New Orleans Saints. Like Dalton has just played horrible the last 2 weeks. Awful. Not that I expect a Jameis with back fractures to really be all that much better. I mean, they were really good with Jameis last season. They were 5-1 with the most efficient offense in the NFL with Jameis last year. And then he played very poorly in the 6 quarters that he played this season. I think partially because regression to the mean, partially because of that back injury. But yeah, what is an NFC team going to tank for? Like the Panthers aren't going to tank, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Everyone is sort of in. Thursday night will determine some of it. If Atlanta beats Carolina, I think that will end the notion there. But let's get to our headlines here on the show. Kenyon Drake, not drafted in some fantasy leagues. I mean, literally undrafted in some. He scores twice as the Ravens beat the Saints on Monday Night Football. Villanova and Duke both get off to 1-0 starts, of course, without their Hall of Fame coaches. College basketball season underway. Frank Reich fired yesterday, late during our show. Jeff Saturday has been named the interim head coach there. And I suppose that this is probably the biggest story of them all here, Davis, because Chris Mortensen, who doesn't put out a lot of stuff on social media, if you've noticed this, so when he says something, I tend to take a second look, said that Josh Allen was being evaluated for a UCL injury in, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, his throwing elbow. And a lot of video has been circulating, Davis, on potentially how this happened. Now, we are very familiar with this injury from baseball, and how it could potentially affect football is very interesting here. I don't know how this is going to affect him short term, but Davis, I have a pretty good idea how this is going to affect him long term. I think they're just going to have to be a little bit more careful with this guy. I know it's not something you want to hear or Buffalo Bills fans want to hear with him running up and down the field constantly and just diving into the end zone. But this is like the natural progression of quarterbacks in the NFL. Eventually, you get hurt after running so much. You get scaled back a little bit. Maybe that's happening with Allen. I guess to be determined. We'll find out more today or tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really. I mean, very similar to Lamar, very similar to Justin Fields, very similar to Hurts. I don't I don't, I just, you can't have a guy like Josh Allen and not have him run. Now, what is the big difference between Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson? I mean, Craig, I bet we could count in Lamar Jackson's career, I bet we could count on one hand the amount of times a defender has got a clean hit on him. Like even last night, Lamar, I think Lamar had 60 rushing yards and not one clean tackle. He's always gliding out of bounds or sliding or, you know, just in some way minimizing the impact. What does Josh Allen do? Josh Allen's like, I'm 6'4", 240. I'm putting my shoulder into you. I'm chesting up to the safety like that. If Patrick Mahomes ever dared to do that, I would be losing my mind. Like, and Bills fans should be losing their minds too on him getting, you know, destroyed in a regular season game against the New York Jets. But make no mistake about it. If Josh Allen has to miss any time, if he has to have any kind of surgery, I mean, what a giant shakeup in the AFC. I mean, and it is so tight there at the top. The Bills right now own the tiebreaker for the one seed over the Kansas City Chiefs, but that might not even matter because the Miami Dolphins could end up being the team that goes in the one seed. You know, that I would say that is certainly not super probable. Right now, the betting markets still have the Bills as the favorite, the Chiefs as a second favorite, and the Dolphins. But we talked about this in the Sports Grid 60 yesterday. In these betting markets, if you think Josh Allen misses a couple games, there are some big opportunities.
There is. And who knows? We'll just have to wait and see. He's just not slippery. He's just, you're right. He's just kind of going in on the defender. And if anything was to happen to him, you're probably right. Miami would be the next team up that you would think actually does, you know, match up pretty well with what Kansas City does, which is just throws caution to the wind on defense and scores as many points as they can. We've seen that happen with the Chiefs in the playoffs. I don't know how many years.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you. We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Sometimes they win, sometimes they lose, but that would probably be the next team to place a futures bet on because they appear to have one of the better offenses in the NFL. All right, coming up next, it is Election Day. We're going to have our votes here for the half-season most valuable player, the biggest disappointments, and those of you who have not voted yet, get out there and vote. If you haven't voted, check us out coming up next. We're going to do some Election Day fantasy football talk. That's coming up next right here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. So don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
On this election day, it is time for us to cast our votes for several different categories in fantasy football. Davis and I are going to take a look at the half-season fantasy football MVP, the biggest disappointments, the largest jump, and certainly for those of you at home who want to cast your vote, let us know who you think qualifies for these categories. Just let us know at SportsGrid, at SportsGrid TV, on social media, on Twitter, also at Davis Matic, at Craig Mish as well. I would say, Davis, that this has been a largely unpredictable season in fantasy. I definitely would say that is the case. We still have a ways to go, obviously. I don't know that we've identified a ton of like who we would call league winners yet. It feels like Fields may be that guy. Kenneth Walker could be that guy. But still sort of up in the air here a little bit. And I'm looking at the standings in both the leagues that I'm playing in. There really isn't a ton of separation from the top to the bottom. So I guess we'll just have to see how it plays out.
Yeah, I am in a fair few number of leagues where they're, you know, got 11th place teams that still feel kind of live and things like that. I think it's probably indicative of just how many injuries there's been in season versus in the preseason. You know, we kind of talked about at the beginning of the season, no top 100 player ended up out for the year. The guy with the highest ADP who ended up out for the season was Tim Patrick, but we've seen, you know, a bunch of season-ending injuries and multi-week absences already during the year, which has really, you know, changed the perspective of things.
All right, so let's take a look at some potential MVPs, and you and I will place a vote, see who we like to win the MVP in fantasy football this season. Dolphins have a couple here on the list, as they should. Tua has been fantastic, although, of course, he's missed a couple of games, and I guess you got to factor that into the equation. Tyreek Hill has been, you know, certainly amazing, could be the number one overall pick and would have paid off. Josh Jacobs has been great for the Raiders. Kenneth Walker, as soon as Rashad Penny went down, he came in, and he's been the man. And then Travis Kelce, right now, I mean, especially with Andrews going down, has been just so far and away the best tight end in fantasy football.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I would guess that at the end of the day, the guy with the biggest win rate in a lot of these best ball tournaments and things, it's not going to be who you would expect. It's not going to be the Kenneth Walkers. It's not going to be the Ramondre Stevensons. I think it's probably actually going to end up being Travis Kelce. He is averaging 20.9 fantasy points per game. That is 6 points better than the second highest scoring tight end, Mark Andrews, 15.2. And it is 9 points better than the third highest scoring tight end, Zach Ertz, at 12.9. You are getting basically a touchdown head start every week that you are starting Travis Kelce versus anyone else. You know, could be you pick some guy up off the wire, you drafted Andrews, you got Dallas Goedert. It just doesn't matter. If you are facing the team that has Travis Kelce, they pretty much start the week up, regardless of what other positions they have. They start the week up 6 points on you. And I don't really see any sign of it slowing down. In fact, I would say the opposite. Patrick Mahomes just had 68 passing attempts in that game against the Titans. This team doesn't want to run the ball. They don't need to because Mahomes is that great. I think it will just keep going this direction.
Yeah, I mean, and they really have no replacement. You know, Pacheco's played a little bit. Sky Moore's played a little bit. It just doesn't matter. It's the same guys, again, for Kansas City. The notion going into the season was that somebody else would step up. I know we've talked about Hardman or Juju. I mean, they've been okay, I guess, but really not. I mean, in the end, it was all, a lot of this is just going to Kelce, and he's taking full advantage for sure. All right, let's take a look at the biggest disappointments of the fantasy football season. Certainly there are more, and I'm sure that somebody playing fantasy right now, Davis, is like, wait a second, you didn't mention my guy. But Tom Brady, probably could throw Rodgers in there too. Boy, Matthew Stafford, oof, I don't know what's going on with this guy. He looks horrible this year. Najee Harris on Pittsburgh, I think that's a pretty big surprise. Adam Thielen, Davis, what will we be talking about Adam Thielen next year? Is this the end of his run in Minnesota? I think you have to ask that question. Boy, George Kittle, huge disappointment. Waller, also a disappointment at that position. Let's also not forget, Davis, when you make your first pick overall in the draft and the guy's name is Jonathan Taylor, I mean, he's got to show up somewhere on this list too because of injury and ineffectiveness as well. But naturally, let's start here. And who would you vote for as your biggest disappointment?
Oh, it for sure would be Jonathan Taylor. I mean, I don't really see an argument for anyone else because even without the injuries, he stunk. I mean, he had a really good game in week one, 161 rushing yards, 4 receptions and a touchdown, and has not topped 18 fantasy points since that game. He's injured. The team stinks. And I mean, to make matters worse, if you were taking Jonathan Taylor number one overall, you still kind of knew you were doing something stupid anyways, because you were taking him over Christian McCaffrey, who is the best fantasy football player of our lifetime. McCaffrey, even before he got traded, had had over 23 fantasy points in 4 straight games on like the worst offense in football. Now he's in San Francisco. He's going to go absolutely nuts. He had 40 points in his last game before the bye week. He is going, I mean, can he score 28 fantasy points per game as a 49er? Probably. So it's got to be Jonathan Taylor. And it was bad at the time. Same thing as Najee Harris. Like, it was bad at the time, and then it went worse than you could even imagine.
Yeah, for sure. Wonder about Najee Harris, too, how much that has to do with the quarterback or the offense as well, but, you know, expected a lot more from him, no doubt. All right, now the biggest jump, what's interesting about some of this, Davis, is that it's all recency bias. But I wonder from your perspective, is there anybody from the beginning of the season to now that has made the biggest jump? Because I see one name on this list. We'll talk about it here. So obviously Justin Fields, the last few games, looks fantastic. And the same could be said all season long for Geno Smith, who's a borderline starter in fantasy, probably the eighth, best, ninth, tenth, around that area. Travis Etienne now looks fantastic, no question. But maybe it is Christian Kirk, really, from game one to now, that he's been healthy every game. He's putting up about, you know, 15, 20 fantasy points. When he doesn't, it's still a 10. And then Rondale Moore has looked great recently as well. So I don't know how do you categorize this, because I think in 5 weeks from now, Davis, this is going to be easy because we could just go look back at the whole season. Etienne probably, I think, at the end of the season may end up being the number one biggest jump. But remember, it was nothing from him the first 3 or 4 weeks. So what do you think this year?
Yeah, Etienne would be my vote. I mean, he was, you know, coming off the season-ending injury, didn't play at all as a rookie. There were some fantasy drafters who were a little bit hesitant. I, for whatever reason, fantasy football players really love James Robinson. I think it is probably related to the fact that so many people picked him up for free his rookie season in Jacksonville, and he just helped so many people win their leagues. That would probably be my guess. I think Etienne is a good, you know, nominee for this category. Kenneth Walker was, you know, a 10th round pick, and guy just looks like the Terminator. I mean, would you rather have Kenneth Walker or Derrick Henry on your football team? Like, I don't know. Kenneth Walker to me might already be like the number one running back in dynasty fantasy football, like the number one guy you'd want for the next couple years. I think Chris Olave, who is the wide receiver 18 in PPR right now, I think he's, you know, because he was going in there being a top 10 wide receiver in PPR before the start of the year. So I think he's another good candidate. Two Jaguars on the list, kind of interesting.
Yeah, I know. And I guess, Davis, when you look at the Jaguars' advanced stats, everyone seems to keep pointing toward they should be better than they are. I mean, I don't know how that all works out. I mean, I know that they've blown some games and they've fumbled some balls near the red zone and the goal line, but everyone says, like, metrically, their record should be flipped.
Well, I mean, they have a positive point differential. Trevor Lawrence is eighth in the NFL in EPA per dropback, but he's bottom five in the NFL in EPA in the red zone, which to me just says they're getting, I mean, that Giants game, like that loss against the New York Giants. I mean, they play that game 100 times. They win like 98 of those. And they just happen to have like all time meltdown there at the end. So I'm kind of buying on the Jaguars, and I don't think they're dead in that division yet. They got to win their games against the Titans. And if they do that, I mean, it's anybody's ball game because the Colts are dead in the water.
Yeah, for sure. Over for them. Maybe Jacksonville takes a little bit of a leap in the second half. We will see. They had to win that game against the Raiders in order to be in that conversation, for sure. All right, coming up next time for a little buy or sell in fantasy football, we'll continue our conversation here on this Election Day Tuesday. So stay on the grid with us. Davis and I will be right back.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good. It's Skyline time.
In just a few minutes with the continuation of this edition of Fantasy Sports Today, right here on Sports Grid. So don't go away. More fantasy football discussion is next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Little buy or sell action in fantasy football for us, Davis and I, here on the show. We'll run through some names and see if we can get some determination on what to expect for the rest of the fantasy football season. So let's get started, Davis, and start off with a name that everybody remembers from the end of last year. And it was really a continuation into the beginning of this fantasy football season, but it slowed down quite a bit. Amon-Ra St. Brown of the Detroit Lions was fantastic. He was a league winner at the end of last year, and he looked like a league winner at the beginning of this year. 39 total receptions, 399 receiving yards, but just three touchdowns on 59 targets. Obviously, he's had some injury stuff and some concussion stuff to go along with him. But look, there's still a long way to go. We know the Lions are not going to be playing for anything, but that didn't matter last year. He was phenomenal at the end of last season. You think that he's a nice buy low at the moment?
Well, I mean, I think that St. Brown is kind of interesting. Obviously, he ended last year at such a torrid pace and then started this year at such a torrid pace that it kind of felt like, you know, oh my gosh, this guy's the next Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson. And the truth is he doesn't really have that profile. He just plays much closer to the line of scrimmage. He wins out of the slot. They don't really like to play him outside. And if you're not earning deep targets, you're just going to have a bunch of games where if you don't score touchdowns, you're pretty bad. Our buddy, Rich Rebar from Sharp Football, we have Warren Sharp here on the channel sometimes. He made this comparison to me and now I can't unsee it. Amon-Ra St. Brown is just a younger version of Keenan Allen, where 3 weeks out of the year, you're going to be like, oh, I'm such an idiot. Why didn't I take Keenan Allen? He just had 11 receptions, 120 yards and two touchdowns. And then he, for 4 weeks in a row, he's going to post, you know, 4 for 40, 5 for 50, 6 for 60, which, you know, doesn't kill you, but isn't, you know, I mean, is not the best ever. So I would be buying on him, but it would be pretty price sensitive. Where it'll get interesting is if he ends this year poorly, if he gets hurt again, and he ends up being a fifth, sixth round pick next year, I'll be all in. You know, I'll be taking him in every single draft, but it's going to be really sensitive to what he does for the rest of this year.
Yeah, Lions could be drafting a quarterback next year too. Who knows? So it may look different for them in 2023 as well. All right, now let's see if we can put on our impartial hat on Davis here for this one and the Kansas City Chiefs. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, my goodness. What a rough game for him on Monday night. Imagine having this guy being down like 5 points, getting nothing. Sunday night, excuse me. Such an inconsistent season for him. 293 rushing yards, 17 receptions, 151 receiving yards. He does have 6 touchdowns, so that's sort of the way that he's made up for some of the other stuff. We've seen Pacheco play a little bit. I mean, all of a sudden, Jerick McKinnon was the guy at the end of that game. I don't know. Feels like just an impossible situation with the Chiefs running backs. I mean, there's no way I'm buying this guy, Davis. It's just a matter of if I'm selling.
Yeah. I mean, what could you get for him? I mean, his results this year have all been related to touchdowns. He only has over 10 carries in one game. He only has more than 3 receptions in 2 games. I don't think you could get anything for selling him. I mean, I don't think you would cut him. Pacheco would probably be the one that I would cut. I mean, just watching Isaiah Pacheco, like, this guy, he can't do anything. I mean, the guy literally cannot do anything. They kept trying to run him on first down against the Titans, and he would just run immediately into the center's butt and fall down. It's very hard for me to believe at this stage that Ronald Jones, I mean, obviously you cannot play Ronald Jones on a single third down. He's like the worst third down rusher, but last 3 seasons, Ronald Jones top 5 in the NFL in success rate on early down rushes. I don't think they're going to do that because Ronald Jones was agitating to get traded, and they did not trade him. So probably that relationship is fractured. But yeah, I mean, no, the McKinnon is the only Chiefs running back I would even consider starting right now.
Yeah, I don't know that I would start any. I got to cut Pacheco this week for sure. All right, now on to the Dolphins, a.k.a. 49ers, I guess, because they have 2 of the 49ers running backs from last year, including Raheem Mostert, who actually has looked better lately. He's getting more carries, but Jeff Wilson played quite a bit last week as well. 478 rushing yards, 13 receptions for 97 receiving yards, and 3 touchdowns. It's such a dicey start with Mostert, Davis, because it's like if you're going to get into that game like the one that they had last week where there's 60 points on the board, it's like you want to have a part of this. But Jeff Wilson, immediately Mike McDaniel's like, okay, we're going to play this guy too. we're not seeing virtually any of the other Dolphins running backs play at this point. The stretch, all of a sudden, he becomes a factor for them. Let's by saying 15 carries, 60 yards, touchdown possibility each week. I feel like when they get close, Wilson's going to get the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I would not drop Raheem Mostert. I just think that what the Jeff Wilson Jr. trade was they never wanted Mostert to be the guy he was the 3 weeks before the trade where he was playing 70% of the snaps and getting 18 touches a game. That was never the plan. The plan was to have Mostert and Chase Edmonds be in a timeshare, and they got to camp, they sign Edmonds, they give him the money, and they're like, oh, crap. This guy's no good, right? I mean, this guy, he just doesn't have the juice, doesn't work on our offense. So they trade, a very marginal pick to get Jeff Wilson Jr., who had already been performing well this season, who Mike McDaniel knows the offense, knows the play calls. I mean, how often do you see a guy get traded midweek and then come in and play 50% of the snaps on offense? Really, I mean, TJ Hawkinson did it too, I guess. But certainly would not drop Mostert. Probably... I'd be closer on the side of buying just because he's like a pretty premium tier handcuff. And I think after that game against the Bears, his price certainly would have dropped. Wilson looked fine, pretty much a 50-50 timeshare. Mostert still did get a lot of the third down snaps and the goal line snaps. Wilson did end up scoring a touchdown, but both of them are probably, I mean, very similar to the Chiefs. Both of them are probably just like low-end RB2s at this point.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, so let's cap it off. And you know, we were talking about disappointments. This is a very big one for a lot of people in fantasy, and that's Michael Pittman of the Indianapolis Colts. And look, at the end of the season, he's probably going to have 1,000 yards. I guess that's like sort of respectable, but only one touchdown on the year. Davis, I got to tell you, I know a lot of this is the quarterback's fault for sure, no question, has to be, but. I mean, even in those games, Matt Ryan was throwing a bunch of picks. He was still throwing for like 300 yards. I know now it's probably over. I also saw a couple of weeks ago against Washington, Pittman drop a huge ball. I think that's been a problem for him as well this year. Maybe it's just the environment. I'm not really sure. But with bad quarterbacks, sometimes on bad teams, you still get occasional good performances, like breakout performances from players. The guy you mentioned, Olave, is a good example of that. What is going on with Pittman this year?
Yeah. There are a couple things going on. The first one being they are not giving him any deep targets. His average depth of target cratered from what it was with Carson Wentz. We just talked about this with Amon-Ra St. Brown. If you're not earning targets deep down the field, you just have to do a lot more. You have to be involved a lot more to get to your 120 yards. I mean, think about it. Justin Jefferson can get to 90 yards on like three catches and all like, oh, 40-yard target, 15-yard target, 45-yard target, and boom, he's already there. And, I mean, I think Pittman's pretty good. Like, I think his skill set is fairly strong, and I would be excited to see what would happen if Indianapolis finally got off this carousel of mediocrity and drafted a quarterback or, you know, traded. Like, because they've kind of middled it. They could have done what the Denver Broncos did and traded a bunch of assets to, I mean, obviously would have ended up being terrible if they traded for Russell Wilson. But I do prefer, at least from an organizational perspective, I prefer that to getting a guy. I mean, all the starting quarterbacks for the Colts the last 5 years, best case scenario, you thought maybe that guy can be like the 12th best quarterback in the NFL. Maybe Phillip Rivers can be fine. Maybe Carson Wentz can be fine. Maybe Matt Ryan can be fine. And none of them were fine. They were all bad. I guess Rivers was okay. Wentz was bad and Ryan was horrible. But yeah, depending on the cost, I mean, Michael Pittman Jr.'s had 9 targets a game in every game but 2. Like, he's still super involved, even if the quarterback play is terrible. So if you have someone who's ready to give him up for a song, like, would I rather start Michael Pittman Jr. or DeAndre Carter? You know, like, well, I'd rather start Michael Pittman Jr. So if you can get him for a bench guy or like a mediocre tight end or whatever, 100% I would do that.
Yeah, for sure. And maybe in a dynasty league, something to attack, no doubt. But I mean, how the Colts didn't like grab a Minshew or just someone viable to play behind these quarterbacks they got through the years is just sort of stunning to me. But we will see which direction they go. By the way, Davis, the NFL announced that your Chiefs are going to be playing Sunday night next weekend, not this weekend, but the following weekend, and they have flexed out Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, so Chiefs, Chargers next Sunday night, and if the Chiefs win that game, I think that's pretty much a wrap for the division, right? They win that one?
It's got to be pretty close to a wrap. I mean, it really would have been a wrap had the Chargers ended up losing to the Atlanta Falcons. Like, the Chargers got to be one of the most paper tiger 5-3 teams ever. They've gotten some very easy wins and some pretty bad losses, but yeah, Kansas City getting a game up there. Yeah, you got to figure it's probably because they already have the one game. They already and so then they'd have the tiebreaker for sure over the Chargers. So you got to feel it could be pretty wrapped up.
Yep. So that's next Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Of course, that's the NBC game of the week, Football Night in America. All right, we got to take a quick break here on the show. When we come back next, it's time for some fantasy or reality. And the Sports Grid 60, obviously, if anything happens in terms of hot stove free agency for Major League Baseball, if it affects fantasy baseball, we will bring news to that as well with the GM meetings going on right now in Las Vegas. But we got to take a quick time out here on the show. Fantasy reality coming up next here. And, of course, the Sports Grid 60 as we close it out here on this Tuesday. So don't go away. We'll be right back here on Sports Grid in just a couple minutes. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cashback and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cashback sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cashback. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to take care of yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps. Ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
At your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You can follow us on social media on SportsGrid's Twitter handles at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV for the latest news, notes, info. And then Newswire at 2 o'clock Eastern. And Davis, it's like this saga going on with Twitter and Elon Musk, of course, buying Twitter and firing people and then trying to rehire people. And then the verification is going to be $20 on Twitter. Now it's going to be $8 on Twitter. Like, I mean, how disjointed does this whole thing feel right now? I mean, I don't know what's going to happen here in a month or two. Maybe nothing will happen at all, but it's like one of the richest men in the world. Like, what's going on here, man? That's crazy.
I mean, you gotta hope nothing happens. I mean, for me, like, Twitter is such a huge part of what I do professionally. You know, I mean, a huge part of the value that I lend to this network to and just, you know, how I make a living definitely relates to that social media platform. So anything that threatens just the fabric by which Twitter operates, I can't say is particularly good for me. My guess is probably that what happens is, you know, just Elon is going to fail at a bunch of stuff, and then he's just going to leave it the way he found it. That is my guess. My guess is that they're going to try these things. None of it's going to work. And they're going to be like, well, it is what it is. And we got to just leave it as it is.
Yeah, well, we will see. I'm waiting for the notifications as well. All right, it's time for us to dive into some other topics, including the Indianapolis Colts and free agency in baseball. Here's fantasy or reality. I would say that there are going to be some fascinating free agent contracts signed in Major League Baseball this offseason, Davis. We've got some really big names that are out there. You got Xander Bogaerts of the Boston Red Sox. Jacob DeGrom has opted out of his contract with the New York Mets. Trey Turner of the Los Angeles Dodgers. What a beast that guy has been. Carlos Correa of the Minnesota Twins has opted out too. But naturally, the one that's going to get the most attention is going to be Aaron Judge of the New York Yankees, who basically turned down a couple $100 million to stay in New York to become a free agent. He's officially a free agent right now. Fantasy or reality, Davis? Aaron Judge will sign the largest free agent contract this offseason. So we're going with total dollars here, not AAV. Total dollars in terms of Judge. Does he get the most money of all? Fantasy or reality?
I think it's pretty close, right? Like, so the reason why it would be close is he might not be willing to do a huge, Juan Soto deal or whatever. He might not want to do the 8-year, $35 million AAV, but, $195 million over the course of that. He might want to do we talked about this. I want to say we talked about this right at the end of the regular season, and there was some speculation. I believe it was Eno Saris who put it. It actually might have been your friend Gray, who I was reading about this, that a thing he could do is just do the 1-year, $42 million deal with the Yankees, and then go into a bigger payday after that. My hand is not going to be on the hot stove quite as much as yours. I would say that the guy I would probably most want to be chasing as a free agent if I was running a team would be Carlos Correa. I know he kind of had like a disappointing year or whatever, but he seems to me like a guy that if I was wanting to build a winning baseball team, I would be above average shortstop defense, like 119 weighted runs created plus every year. He's been healthy. But in the end, I'll say reality. Some team just ends up giving him a mega deal.
Yeah, I'll say reality here too. And again, when you have New York involved, I think that sort of pushes it over the top. But I do have to say that Trey Turner should really, if I am starting a team, that may be the guy that I want. Now, I don't know how, position-wise it would be, Davis, if you sign Trey Turner to an 8-year contract, let's say. He's 29 years old. At 37, is he still a shortstop? Or are you paying a second baseman $30 million a year?
Right.
And I guess Texas did that with Semien. Seager's a short, Semien's a second. They paid those guys $30 million a year. It's so hard because we don't know who is in it. Are the Cubs going to be huge spenders in the offseason? Like you need some of those big market teams, LA, to jump back in there again. LA has not shown a propensity, by the way, to do that. It's only been a few guys, Kershaw, Mookie Betts. Essentially, they get these guys to trade and they let him go and they sign somebody else. They get Scherzer, they let him go, sign somebody else. They get Darvish, let him go, get somebody else. They always just move this money around and they don't seem to commit hundreds of millions of dollars. It works for them. But I'll say reality, but to me, Trey Turner is definitely somebody that I think could challenge this if some team really wanted to. DeGrom, I don't think so. I think it's more of a shorter term deal. That's a lot of money to 8 years for DeGrom. I personally would not do that. Could be 35, 40 million a year over a few years, but not the kind of length I think that Judge could potentially get, or Turner, or Bogaerts, or Correa. All right, now let's move on to the Indianapolis Colts. A little bit of a stunner yesterday as Frank Reich was fired and Jeff Saturday was hired. And he, of course, is now going to take over this team for the rest of the season. I think there's probably some of us that are sort of rooting for this to happen because it's just so far out there. But things like this work in baseball, Davis. They sometimes work in the NBA where you have a guy who's never coached before, but again, it's a system. In football, you don't see this too often with somebody with no experience or very little whatsoever succeeding. And by the way, not a lot of success, Davis, for even college coaches in the NFL as well. Jeff Saturday, fantasy reality. He will be the Indianapolis Colts head coach in 2023.
Every once in a while, Brett will just lob us up the softest softball of all time. I mean, not only is Jeff Saturday not going to be a head coach of the Indianapolis Colts next season, he is probably a bigger favorite to never have a coaching job in the NFL again. This game against the Raiders this weekend, there are zero guys who have called plays at the NFL level on the team. My guess is that Jim Irsay has looked at the contract incentives for Matt Ryan and said, we can't win another game. We got to give ourselves a chance to get CJ Stroud, to get Bryce Young, to get Will Levis, maybe Anthony Richardson. We talked about that yesterday, actually. I'm going to be wagering big on Anthony Richardson, figuring it out at the NFL level. I think he's phenomenal. But it doesn't stop there. Amazing wide receivers in this class, some crazy edge. Like, this is a absolutely loaded NFL draft, I think, compared to kind of a down year in 2022 where we were not expecting a ton of perennial all pros. And they just want to lose some games. They don't want to start Matt Ryan because they'll have to give up more picks and more money if they start him in any more games. And Jim Irsay said, who can I bring in that is not going to begrudge me if he loses every game? Sounds like Jeff Saturday kind of got the deal. I mean, that press conference yesterday, it was like a Borat skit or something. I mean, it was unbelievable. We're in the upper quartile of the top quartile of winning franchise, just unbelievable. F minus higher. They violated the Rooney rule, by the way, so there's going to be some punishment from the league office coming in that direction, I would imagine. This is going to be one of the most spectacular failures in NFL history, I think.
Yeah, it's really, I agree on every account. It's really fascinating, Davis, because I think really in the end what this shows is that the people, Davis, with the most money in the world, they end up winning always in some way. And this is a win for Jim Irsay, Davis. Like, this is basically like, I have a lot of money, I own an NFL team, and I'm going to show you that I can do whatever I want with it. And this is not the first time. It's not the last time. You remember at one point, if I'm not mistaken, the owners of the Mets, remember they hired Brody Van Wagenen, who had never been a general manager. He was an agent, and they hired him to be a GM. Not to say that he wasn't qualified or not, but it was just like, what? And that was, I'm up here with the money, and I can do whatever I want. And I think that's what all this is. This is Jim Irsay with two middle fingers basically saying, I love Jeff Saturday. He's my buddy. My guess, yep. Davis, I don't know this, obviously, he probably talked to Jeff Saturday every day. He probably spoke to him on the phone, Davis, every day during this season. And Jeff Saturday probably told him, you know, here's what I would do. You know, I'm not sure about this, that. And you know what happens? Owners believe that stuff, man, because they have this inner circle of people that they trust. It doesn't matter if they have experience or not. He hired his buddy. He just brought in his buddy to do what he thinks is the right thing. And he told everybody else, I don't care, I can do this. So it's a fantasy, right? Was it fantasy? Oh, he'll be the head coach next season. Fantasy. I'm 100% with you, Davis. This is just about flexing your muscle as an owner. And who are we to say? What are we going to do? This guy's got billions of dollars. You can't tell him anything. Except for, yeah, he violated the Rooney rule a little bit. I guess that's it. Okay, finally, the Jumbotron yesterday at an NBA game ended up showing a couple of celebrities that we, by the way, don't hear from all that often, Davis. And, you know, I was kind of wondering, you know, when it comes to this stuff, if you really pay attention to who's on and who's on the Jumbotron. Now, as far as now what I remember from reading this story, Lindsay Lohan and her husband, Bader Shamis, were at the New York Knicks game. Now, obviously, once upon a time, you know, when you were growing up, Lindsay Lohan was at the, he's on the Jumbotron. I think that's a picture of 50 Cent, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Like, you know what? Actually, kind of, I dislike a lot of this stuff, but every once in a while, you'll get a good one. You know, David Bakhtiari slamming all the beers down or whatever. Now, you're only ever really finding out about these if it leads to something like semi-viral. Aaron Rodgers not being able to finish the beer at the Bucks game. I just happened to think of the two Packers and drinking the beer. But yeah, like, you know, Spike Lee courtside at Knicks games. Like, and something I've always loved about the NBA too is, you know, kind of these famous fans or whatever, and you get to see them all interface with the players and everything. I've always kind of enjoyed that. Not that I'm not going to an NBA game to be like, oh, you know, I hope I see celebrity X, Y, or Z there. But yeah, like, you know, it's right. It's a good little bit of fun. I won't be a Grinch about celebrities on the Jumbotron.
No, I'll say reality, but Davis, like, you know, like, it's forced sometimes too. Like, think about, like, no offense to Utah, but, and Utah, by the way, the Jazz are off to a good start. But it's like, what celebrities would they be showing at the Utah Jazz game? You know, it's like, oh, look who's courtside here. It's, you know, Mark Eaton or, you know, somebody like that. So, yeah, I mean, I think when it's in a big city, I think it's cool. But I think for the most part, I could care less. Now, South Florida, we're fortunate here because usually there's like some celebrity that's coming to South Florida, especially during the winter time when the weather's good to, you know, to come see a game of some kind. But it does depend on the team a little bit. You've got some bottom feeder type teams that are just fortunate to have anybody in their park or in their stadium. So I'll say like partial reality for this. I do think it is cool. Again, in New York, obviously, it's going to be a little bit different. I haven't even heard from Lindsay Lohan in a long time. I didn't even know if she was up to anything, acting, doing anything. Once upon a time, she was who we talked about every day, like TMZ type stuff. All right, we got to take a quick time out here on the show. Coming up next, it is the Sports Grid 60, and then we'll turn it over to the early line at the top of the hour, noon to 2. I'm back with you 2 o'clock Eastern as we get you ready for the upcoming World Cup. We'll have a preview of that and a whole lot more, so stay on the grid. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. As we get ready to wrap up our show here on this Tuesday, let's get a final thought from Davis. Here is today's Sports Grid 60.
Craig, 12 days away from the World Cup beginning. Absolutely can't wait. I am giddy. We're definitely going to have to figure out how we are going to work some of the World Cup stuff into this show. No way we can let the biggest sporting event in the world pass by. The United States of America is going to be playing the day after Thanksgiving. They're going to be playing in the afternoon on Black Friday against England. My guess is that'll be the most watched soccer game in the history of our country. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait. I'm getting all my bets ready, entering in all these pools. It's going to be a celebration. Can't wait for it, buddy.
All right. Well, I know it's coming fast and furious for us, too. We'll have coverage of it right here on Sports Grid. Dusty Baker tells the media today that he's been offered a new contract to return to the Houston Astros next season. One of the most likable guys in Major League Baseball also means that the Astros essentially have decided to more or less run it back for next year. Now, what they decide to do is kind of unclear as far as maybe their 40-man or 25-man roster. But having Dusty back is definitely great for baseball. Also great for me, the fact that I get to interact with him once again at spring training, which will be coming fast and furious next February in the ballpark of the Palm Beaches in West Palm Beach, Florida. All right, that'll do it for our show today. Thanks to everybody for watching. Hopefully you got some good fantasy football content. Also check us out on our YouTube page, also over at sportsgrid.com and over at dailyroto.com for all of the simulations and information to help you win the rest of your fantasy football season, and also DFS this week. Also, thanks, of course, to LTN, and for my producer, Brett Lee, and my co-host, Davis Maddock. I'm Craig Mish. Early line coming up next here at noon Eastern. I'm back with you 2 o'clock Eastern for a brand new edition of Newswire as the World Cup is going fast and furious. We will preview that for you today. So we'll see you then.